The bottom of Daf Samach Tes Amud Beis. If you remember, the Gemara wanted to derive the conclusion that Shem Chom V'Yofes, Shem was the oldest brother of the three of the Bnei Noach. Omer Av Kahana Amrito L'Shmaite Kami Derav Zvid Minarto. I repeated this sugya in front of Rav Zvid. Atun mehocham asnisu. You want to prove that it's listed not in order of their age, but rather Shem was the wisest of the three. Anon mehocham asnisu lo. I derive it from a different pasuk. And the pasuk reads as follows. Ulashem Gam Yulad Gamhu Avi Kol Bnei Ever Achi Yefes Hagodol. And this means that Shem had children, and he was the ancestors of those who lived on the other side of the river. And he was the brother of Yefes, who was the elder brother. Yefes Godol Hagodol Shabiechov Hava. So it proves clearly that Shem is listed first, even though he's not the oldest, but because of Derech Chochmasom Kachoshevle. So in any event, if we haven't proved what we thought we could prove, if Shem would have been the oldest of the brothers, namely that Shem, that a child of 8 years old could father a child, Eleminolim, but let's derive it from Bitzal, Mehocha. The Pasuk says in Shmos Perek Lamed Ches, Ubitzalel ben Uri ben Chur lemate Yehuda. So we know that Bitzalel is the son of Uri and the grandson of Chur. Who was Chur? Chur, as we'll soon see, was the son of Kalev. So Kalev becomes the great grandfather of Bitzalel. And Kalev, the great grandfather of Bitzalel, was pretty young, as we'll soon prove, when Bitzal was born. Uksiv is a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim. Vatomas Azuva. Azuva was the wife of Kalev. Vayikach lo Kalev es Ephras. Vatelud lo es Chur. It means that Kalev is the father of Chur, which makes him, as we said before, the great-grandfather of Bitzal. So there were three generations after Chur until Bitzal was born. V'chi Ovid Bitzal Mishkan Bar Kamahavi. How old? There's a rhetorical question. How old was Bitzalel when he built the Mishkan? Bar Tlesar, he was 13 years old. D'chziv Ish. And the word Ish, especially when it says Ish twice, is coming to tell you a gadol, meaning someone who reached the age of 13, Mimalachto Asher Hema Osim. And that indicates that he was amongst the wise people performing the work of the Mishkan, each man from the work that he was doing. And this pasuk is in Shmos Perek Lamed Vav. Visanya, and the Bryce interprets this pasuk, Shana Rishonos of Moshe Mishkan. In other words, after Yitzias Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu was busy with the Mishkan. Shnia, in the second year after Yitzias Mitzrayim, Hakim Mishkan, he put up the tabernacle. Veshalach Meraglim, and he sent out the Meraglim. Now at this point, Bitzal is all of 14 years old when the Meraglim was sent out. Amongst the Meraglim is his great-grandfather, Kalev, Uksiv, and a pasuk in Yoshua testifies as to how old Kalev was when the Meraglim was sent out. Ben Arboim Shana Anochi Bishloach Moshe Eved Hashem V'Gomer. And the pasuk says, V'yata Hine Anochi Ayom Ben Chamesh Ushmonim Shana. Kamahavaluhu. So then how old was Kalev when he was sent to spy? Arboim, he was 40. Dal Arbesa Davi Bitzal. Bitzal at that point in time was 14 years old. So if you deduct 14 years from 40, is partially what you left off with is Esrimashay's 26 years. So it means that Kalev was all of 26 years old when he was a great-grandfather, and he had Bezalel, his great-grandson. In other words, there were three generations that descended from Kalev since, or I should say by the time he was 26. Dal Tarte Shnei Ditlossi Bure. We subtract another 2 years for three pregnancies. Each pregnancy is 8 months. Is 24 months, which is 2 years. Ishtakach dechol chad v'chad b'tamni olid. So it means that Kalev produced three generations within 22 years. It means that from the time of Kalev to Bezalel, each and every father begot a child when he was 8 years old. Did I get to number 24 right? Yeah. Because we started with 26, and we subtracted 2, we got down to 24, and we divided that by 3, and we get 8. That means each generation begot a child at the ripe old age of 8 years old. And this seems to be the final proof out of all those aborted efforts to try to establish the Shita of Beis Shammai, of Doras Rishonim, that the earlier generations, a young boy could father a child at the age of 8 years old. Let's go back to our Mishnah. Ben v'lo bas. The Mishnah establishes that a bas, a female, cannot become a bas sora umora. Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Rav Shimon, bidinu, logically, shete bas ru'il lios kiben sora umora. Why can't she eat the meat and drink the wine that she stole from her father, etc., etc.? And therefore, logic would dictate that she too could become a bas sorer umorer and be put to death. However, despite that, there's exeris hakos. Shakol mitzuyin etzla ba'avera. And if you're telling me that we're afraid as to what will happen down the line, maybe perhaps we're not afraid that she'll become a murderer, but if she gets addicted to gluttonous eating of meat and drinking of wine, and she knows doesn't have the money to support her addiction, like drug addicts today, then she'll give herself over to a lifestyle of prostitution. And maybe, if that be the case, she'll continue that practice even after she gets married, which means she'll be subject to the death penalty. Better that we put her to death now, nidon al shem sofo. And clearly she has set the course, even if she's not yet guilty, but why should she be different than a man? But, gzeres hakosafi. And the pasuk says, ben v'lo bas. The Rambam tries to give, at the beginning of Hilchos Mamrim, some sort of twist, some sort of explanation to justify this gzeres hakosuf. And he suggests that a man is more apt to become machur, to become totally addicted to his lusts and his pleasures, and therefore he will eventually kill somebody to support that financially. A woman is not likely to get to that level. Now the Mishnah starts with determining how a boy who's bar mitzvah earns the condemnation and the status as a ben sora mor. The Torah just says that he's gluttonous, he's a guzzler, but the Torah doesn't go into any specific details about exactly what he did, and that's given over to Torah Shebal Peh, that Moshe Rabbeinu received both Torahs at Har Sinai, Torah Shebal Ksav and Torah Shebal Peh, and the Mishnah says, Meimasai Chayav, Misha Yochal, Tartemar, Bosar, the Yishte Chatzi Log Yayin Haitalki. Taltemar of Bosar is a very large amount of Bosar. The Gemara is going to go into detail to define it. And we're talking about money stolen from his father and used to buy a Tartemar of meat. Meat, as we'll soon see, is very addictive because it produces a certain kick, a certain joy. And he eats this amount of meat at one time. consuming it as a gluttonous person. Now, in the case of Yayin, the Tanakhama here of our Mishnah says Chatzi Log of Yayin Haitalki. The Gemara is going to try to figure out what a Chatzi Log is and what a mana is. We'll see this in a minute. According to Rabbi Yossi, it's a mana boss of a log Yayin. In any event, a log is a measure of liquids equal to the volume of sheish beitzim, of six eggs. So we're talking now, according to the Tanakhama, of a chatzi log means the weight or volume of three eggs. The Rambam mentions yayin. The Mishnah itself mentions yayin haitalki. Apparently, Italian wine is famous for being addictive. It's superb in its quality. And even if the child eats, I should say drinks, only one half of a log of this yayin haitalki, we're afraid that's already excessive, that's already enough for him to get addicted to wine. And in order to achieve his goal of imbibing wine, he will do whatever he has to do in order to maintain that addiction. According to the Rambam, who omits Yain HaItalki as the specification, it's possible that he understood that at that time, back in the Tana, the time of the Mishnah, Italian wine was considered the finest wine in that area, but that's not a significant factor as a Tanai, La Locha Lemaisa. So if a boy steals money from his father, he buys this amount of meat and wine and he consumes it all together at one shot in a gluttonous way, that makes him into a Bensorer Umore. Now, the Mishnah quotes Rabbi Yossi's the dissenting opinion, Mana Basar. All he needs is a weight equal to a mana, which is 100 dinars weight, and a log yayin, and he has to drink a full log of yayin, that's the volume of six eggs, in order to be chayv as a ben soru more. Now the Mishnah lists the exceptions to the rule, the cases in which a young boy does not become a ben soru more, even though he did steal from his father and he did consume the prescribed amount of meat and wine. And the first case is Ochal Bechavuras Mitzvah. There was a gathering of people and they were gathering together at a wedding or so for a mitzvah, which means that the eating of meat and the drinking of wine was part and parcel of the Kiyum HaMitzvah. And in such a case, we don't believe that a mitzvah will be mazik him and draw him into an addiction. And then the next case is Ochal Be'ibur HaChodesh. This is also a kind of a Sudas Mitzvah of such. And what does it mean, Ibur HaChodesh? Every month, which is the lunar month, is potentially either a Chaser of 29 days or a Moly of 30 days. And that's based on the lunar cycle in which the moon revolves around the earth on a monthly basis, sometimes 29, sometimes 30. So the lunar month changes from month to month. It's either a 29 or 30, a chaser, a mole, and even that's only an approximation. In any event, since the people have to be notified about the determination of the month, when it terminates or when the new month begins, Beis Din had to somehow notify the people. That's called Pirsum. And in the process of publicizing it, so that they would know as soon as possible, they would gather 10 men together to have a Seuda on either the 30th day or the 31st day, to publicize that day is Rosh Chodesh. And this itself, this Sudas Pirsum, if you will, is part and parcel of the kiyum of Rosh Chodesh. That makes Rosh Chodesh into Rosh Chodesh because, as I said before, you needed to publicize the day as Rosh Chodesh. There's a shitas arrived, by the way, that Hallel on Rosh Chodesh is also a pirsum of Rosh Chodesh, and therefore requires a bracha. And this means that the niug of Rosh Chodesh, in other words, the observance of Rosh Chodesh with all its customs and its kiyumim, is itself makadesh the yom. So that's a case of a sudas mitzvah, and I would say kol shekein today, which is chol hamoed, we would certainly have a kiyum seuda, and if you add the sukkah into the equation, that even jacks it up even further as a sudas mitzvah. If the suda of Ibra Chodesh is a mitzvah, much more so the kiyum of Isamachta v'chagecha. And then we have a list of other, at least one other case in the list of a sudas mitzvah, v'achilu shel mitzvah, and that's the case of Ochel Maaser Sheni of Yerushalayim. In other words, the Maaser Sheni must be separated on the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the Shemitah cycle. First, he is Mafish Truma, gives to the Kohen, he Mafishes Maaser Rishon, gives to the Levi. But on the what years in the cycle? Let me just get this straight. First, second, fourth, and fifth years of the cycle. Yeah, that's what I said before. I was right. I didn't fool you. I didn't mislead you. That's Maaser Sheni. So he gives Truma, which let's say is 2%, then he gives another 10%, another 10%, 22% of his produce, and the last 10% is Maaser Sheni. It has to be brought to Yerushalayim and eaten there. Now, this is a case of a boy who stole his father's Maaser Sheni money. Let's say his father took the Maaser Sheni, was poded onto money, and the boy stole the money and took it to Yerushalayim. There he bought meat and wine, and he consumed it. Consumed them, I should say. And this is a kiyum mitzvah, this consumption of Maaser Sheni, and therefore he will not be ill affected. He will not be addicted to meat and wine as a result of an achila shel mitzvah. And now at this point, the Mishnah lists a different category of exemptions from ben sorimor. These are achilos shel avera shel iser achal nevelos to treifus katzim ramosim. Achal tevel u'maaser rishon shelo nitla trumaso u'maaser sheni v'hegdish shelo niftu. All these are achilos shel iser. We'll go over them very quickly. Nevela is an animal that dies without shechita. Treifa is an animal, or for that matter, a bird. I mentioned animals. Nevela, you could have a nevela of an oaf, and a treifa of an oaf, which means that it has one of the 18 simonei treifa. The animal is injured in an internal way, and it will live no more than 12 months. And the meat is prohibited even if it was shechted. Shkatzim are those creatures that crawl on the earth and are not kosher. For example, birds, ramosim, are low creatures that have short legs and creep along the ground. And in all these cases, when he eats macholas asuros, he does not engender the chiyuv of ben sorimor. The Gemara is going to say on daf ayin omid beis why exactly that's so, and it's based on the fact that he stole from his father. That's the avera. But if he also has the additional avera of shkotzim vermosim, etc., then he's not chayiv. Tevel, of course, is after you have kvius l'tshuvas ha'maisris, and the produce was not subject to afrasha. And then in the case of maaser rishon, the levi gets maaser rishon. From the maaser rishon, he has to give 10% to the kohen, and that's called trumas maaser. And maaser rishon is also tevel until the trumas maaser has been taken off. So if it's tevel litrumas meiser, means meiser sheni, excuse me, it's meiser rishon, that was given to the Levi, and yet the hafrasha of truma has not been done yet, it's tevel litrumas meiser. Then we have a case of meiser sheni shalom nifta, meaning the meiser sheni was eaten outside of Yerushalayim, and that's in Averis Lavlo Sucha Lechel Bisharecha. Then we have Hegdesh, which is food that was designated for the Beis HaMikdash, which let's assume for the time being is Kedushas Damim, and until there's a redemption, a Pidyon, it remains Hegdesh, which is Osur Bana. And our Mishnah tells us if he eats this Meiser Sheni without pidyon, outside of Yerushalayim, or he eats Hegdesh without pidyon, anywhere on the face of the earth, he is potur, he's exonerated from being a ben sor mor. Even though it sounds counterintuitive, because you're adding insult to injury. Not only did he steal, not only is gluttonous, he also violated all the surim that are listed here in the Mishnah, but yet, that achilo does not generate a chiyuv ben sor mor. Now, again, you have to keep in mind that in the four cases that we mentioned, we have to talk about Tevel that was Yayin, Meiser Rishon that was Yayin, Hegdesh that was Yayin, because again, he's only Chayav this Ben Soromor in potential, if it would have been an Achilas Heter, Shtiyas Heter, had it been Hegdesh, or Meiser Rishon Shlo Niftu, or Tevel, that must be wine. Otherwise, meat, there's no Meiser Rishon, no Meiser Sheni, there's no Hegdesh, there's no Tevel with regard to meat. Clearly we're talking about drinking, which means we're talking about wine. And therefore it must be, as the Rashash points out in Amish, that we're talking about wine that was Tevel, that was Meiser Rishon, Meiser Sheni, that was Hegdesh. And that's the list here in our Mishnah. Although the Mishnah does mention Avelis Trefus Shkotz and Vermos, and that might come under Achilas Basar. I'm not exactly sure how that works out with Shkotz and Vermos, if that's called Basar. That's an interesting question. And the Mishnah establishes that because it was Macholas Asuros, Achilas Asura, therefore he's not, that Achil could not generate a Chiyuv of Ben Sorumar. The Mishnah goes on to say, Ochal Dovar Shehu Mitzvah V'Dovar Shehu Avera. Now we're talking about a situation in which this additional, what seems to be superficial summary of what we already saw in the Mishnah is added by Rav Yehuda Hanasi to teach us new Chidushei Dinim that we'll have to see in the Sugya on Daf Ayin Amid Beis. The Mishnah goes on to tell us, Shasa Kol Mashke Avol Kol Machol Ve Ochal Kol Machol Velo Ochal Basar. If he ate any other foodstuff but meat, he's going to be potter. The Torah specifies meat. Shasa Kol Mashke Shasa Yayin, anything but Yayin is not considered a machayev ben soromor, einu nasa ben soromorer, ad sheyochal basar v'yishte yayin. Shenemar, how do we know basar and yayin? It says zolel v'sovei. Zolel, which literally translates into English as a glutton, means he ate meat gluttonously, and sovei is a guzzler who drinks wine to an excess. I can't prove to you that Zolel refers to meat and Sove refers to Yayin, but Zecheldov, I can give you an allusion with an A hint at it. Shenemar, the Pasuk says in Mishle regarding people who drink wine excessively, they're called Sove Yayin, so the word Sove is indicative of drinking yayin, or they're called zolele basar. And that's the pasuk shenemar, al tehi b'sove yayin b'zolele basar lomo. Now, don't join up with these groups of zolele basar and sove yayin. Now, again, I don't know If that's a conclusive raya, the Mishnah calls it a zecher ledavar, and the reason for that is because the expression zolel v'sove could actually be someone who overindulges in any food or any beverage. In other words, we're not exactly sure, for 100% sure, that the pasuk, in other words, even though the pasuk in Mishle is referring to sove yayin and zole bos, that doesn't mean that wherever it says these two words, sove and zole, they definitely refer to yayin and meat. It could very well be possible that there are those who are gluttonous, not just for meat, or those who are guzzlers, not just for wine, but other foods and other beverages. The pasuk in Mishle is enjoining us, or shall we say, warning us to be to avoid the habit forming indulgences, those addictive indulgences. We're not sure 100% that zol v'sove in the case of ben sore is also the same type of addictive indulgences of eating meat and drinking wine, but nevertheless, it's a pretty starka zeichel davar. And now we get to the Gemara. Omer Rav Zeira, Tartimar Ze'en Yodeh, I would not know what the measure of Tartimar is, which according to the Tanakhama is the volume of meat that he consumed and generated a chiyuv misa of Ben Soramor El Mitosha Kofal Rav Yossi B'yayin. If we're going to do a comparative study between the Tanakhama and Rav Yossi, well, at least we can do an accurate analysis of yayin. In the case of yayin, Rav Yossi doubled the volume of yayin. Remember, from 3 eggs to 6 eggs. So let's assume in the case of basar, he doubled again the volume. Nimsa kofel af basar v'nimsa tartemar chatzi mona, which means that if Rav Yossi says that he ate a mona of basar, then Tanakhama, if you have it by half, it's a half of a mana. And exactly what that amount is, well, we can assume that if a mana is the equivalent of 100 dinar, then a half a mana would be the equivalent of 50 dinar. Let me just double check that for a second. Yeah, it would seem that the mana is 100 dinar, and therefore chatzi mana would be half a dinar. Okay, what other requirements are there? Conditions for Ben Achiv, Ben Sor, Omer Rav Hanan, Bar Moloda, Omer Rav Huna. Eino chayvat sheyikach basar bezol v'yochal. He has to take cheap meat and eat the meat. Yayin bezol v'yish, the cheap wine, and drink the wine. V'yish, t'chsiv zolel v'sovei. Now, what's the story here with cheap meat and cheap wine? What's that all about? So it means that Rav Huna here is applying the following logic. If you want to imagine someone who steals and he has enough money to indulge in his addiction, which is meat and wine, it's got to be cheap meat and cheap wine. He gets addicted, he gets habitual, because by stealing a limited amount of money, which is an easy job, he's able to provide himself with lots of meat and lots of wine. And that's what makes him addicted. If it was expensive meat and expensive wine, then we don't have to anticipate he'll get into a pattern, a regularity of that would addict him, because that's too big of a challenge. So he won't indulge in expensive meat and fine wine in order to have his lifestyle addicted to that lifestyle, unless it's cheap. That's Rav Huna. Another statement in Rav Huna: Eino chai v'chiyochal basar chai v'yishte yain chai. He's eating raw meat and undiluted wine. Now, the remez l'dover here is that the Hebrew word for a glutton is zolel, and zolel is similar to the word zol. Again, it's a different shoresh, but there's a certain similarity, and that seems to be the remez when he says the ksiv zolel v'sove from the word zol. And then when we talk about wine, well, back in the day, at the time of the Shas, the wine was undiluted originally. It was very concentrated, and then they would add water to dilute it with certain ratios. Rav Huna, apparently, the Gemara is going to attack this, is saying at the face of it that the Ben Sori Mar is only chayav if he drinks undiluted wine. That's going to cause him indulgence. That's going to cause him addiction. The Gemara is going to clarify exactly what Rav Huna meant. Because the Gemara asks, Eini, is this so? Ve'ha'oma Rabba v'Rav Yosef, Di'amit Ravayu, Ochal Basar Chai v'Shosa, Yayin Chai Eino Nase Ben Sorer Umorer. In other words, raw meat. Now you can eat sushi, but that's usually fish, but you could theoretically eat raw meat and you drink undiluted wine. It's possible, but that will not lead to any addiction. That's not an enjoyable kind of achila. So what are we going to do with Rav Huna? Omar Ravina. So Ravina wants to shed a light on Rav Huna's requirement of Yain Chai. Yain Chai, mozig velo mozig. He doesn't mean it's totally undiluted, but he means it's not fully diluted. It's half undiluted, half diluted. And if you have partially diluted wine, that's addictive. It has a superior flavor. If it's too diluted, then nobody gets addicted to it. It's like grape juice. But the best wine that's tasty and addictive, you know, with the alcoholic content, and again, you could ask the drinkers, that's going to be this middle stage, that it's got some element of dilution, but it's still very strong wine. Once it's diluted with the standard amount of water, although people drink the wine that way, it's not something that we can anticipate he'll get addicted to. And the whole Yesodas here of Zol v'Sove is that the boy, in order to keep up, maintain this habit that he's addicted to, he'll do anything and kill anyone to get that money in order to buy this stuff. So a boy who buys fully diluted wine, he doesn't get addicted. He's not going to become, and he's not going to be condemned as a Ben Soromor. But if it's that middle state, and it's enjoyable, but it's also something that you get hooked onto, then he is a Ben Soromor. Basar Chai, Bashil, Velo Bashil. This is kind of like Michael Ben Josoy, if you remember from the second perek of Shabbos, or shall we say the third parak of Shabbos, Perakira, and there's a discussion about the thieves who are always on the move, and they don't have time to wait till their meat is fully cooked, so they eat it on the run, and they broil it on coals until the outside is scorched, but the inside is still rare. And basically, at what point are we concerned about the addiction of a boy that will lead him to lead, as we said before, a life of crime? He becomes accustomed to eating meat that is only partially cooked. And, you know, he's gluttonous. He's not going to wait until, he doesn't have time to wait until it fully cooks. So this is the Kemichel Ben Josoy of Bashil Velo Bashil. Kibisar Kiba the Achli Ganve, like the scorched meat that the Ganovim eat. Now, there's an additional condition for Ben Soromor, that's Rav Yosef, because Jami Travayu, they both agree, Ochal Basar Maliyah V'Shasi Yayin Megido, Eino nasa ben sorer umorer. In other words, the salting process shouldn't go beyond the normal amount of days that you leave it salted, because then it becomes very dry, very salty. And the yayin should not be fresh off the press, because that's a very harsh kind of wine. So therefore, salted meat is no longer fresh, and wine that is migito is not aged wine, and these are not appealing, and these are not addictive. And the Gemara goes on to try to elucidate exactly at what point is the meat that's been salted enjoyable and addictive, at what point is the wine left to ferment to a basic beginning level that it is tasty and addictive. And the Gemara stretches its arm out to Masechta Tainis. At the end of Masechta Tainis, the Mishnah presents the laws of what we call the Suda Mafsekis, the last meal on Erev Tisha B'Av, when the Avelis commences, and therefore Lo Yochal Odom Shnei Tavshilin, he is not permitted to eat two cooked foods, Filo Yochal Basvil Yishtayayin, and absolutely forbidden from eating meat or drinking wine. These are indicative, or these are achilos shtios that generate simcha. So we're now about to enter into the darkest, most tragic day in Jewish history. That's Tisha B'Av, in which we mourn over the loss of the Beis Hamikdash, etc. Five events that took place, and that's entering into the eighth. I mean, at the end of the eighth of Av, at that last Suda, we need to create a Kirma Velus, and Achilas Basar, Shtiyas Yain, is considered antithetical to Avelus. It undermines the spirit of Avelus. So we have to enjoin one from consumption of meat or wine at this meal. But then the Mishnah goes on with the Chiddush and says that any Shnei Tavshilin is prohibited. That's why our minig is to eat one boiled egg. And that's it. There's no time now. It's not appropriate. It's not the moment for a sophisticated meal. It's got to be a very basic meal. We even have a minig to dip the egg in ashes in order to remember the Churban HaBayis. It's all to put ourselves into the mood for Tisha B'Av, the mood for Avelus and mourning and grief. Vitana. Now the Brisa adds another, proviso, and restricts the Issa, the prohibition of Basar and Yain, allows us to eat meat and drink wine. And what kind of meat are we allowed to drink? Because that meat, what kind of meat are we allowed to eat? And that's not antithetical to the mourning atmosphere of the Leil Tisha B'Av, because such meat will not make people joyous, and that's called basar moliach, that it's already been salted for a while. After a long period of time, let's say 3 days went by since he salted it, and now it loses its natural flavor. It won't inspire a person to joy, and therefore the eating of that meat that's called basar moliach is not antithetical to Avelus. In the case of wine, the wine is yayin migito, which literally means straight from the press, the wine presses. You can visit today the wine presses from yesteryear, you know, in the area of Chashmonaim and so forth. Fresh wine, which has not yet been fermented, it's straight away from the gas, from the press. It doesn't have that extra ability of simcha, to be mesameach levav enosh, to make people joyous, and therefore it's not antithetical to the mood of Avelus. And Chazal allowed the consumption of basar moliach and yayin migito at the Suda HaMafsek. I've never seen anyone do this, but that's the pure, pristine halacha. And the Gemara now clarifies exactly what's basar moliach and what is yayin migito. In other words, what is the cutoff? At what point Do we say the yayin is fermented enough that it gives you a taste that's addictive? At what point, and joyous? At what point is the meat salted but not too salted, and it still maintains its original natural flavor, and therefore it's addictive? And the Braisa says, or maybe the Gemara is actually commenting on the Braisa, Basar Maliach Ad Kamam Rab Chanina Bar Kahana Kolz Man Shehu Kishlomim. We're talking about a carbon shlomim, the meat that we're not allowed to eat on at the Sudim Afsekas at Erev Tisha B'Av is a shlomim type of meat, meaning it's like a carbon shlomim. Shlomim is Miloshin Shlemus. A carbon is a simcha because it's a close relation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's not appropriate for Erev Tisha B'Av. So Kol Zman Shehu Kishlomim, then you are prohibited from eating it. What does this mean? So the din of achilas shlomim is that you're allowed to eat shlomim for the remainder, the balance of the day in which the korban was brought, was shechted on the and brought on the mizbeach, the zrikas adam. That's called one day. And then the following day, and the night between the 2 days, that's shnei yomim v'layla achas. That's the maximum time period for achilas shlomim. After that becomes nosar, and you have to burn it. Now, if the meat was salted for less than, meaning up to but not including that 2 day plus 1 night period of time, then it's still considered tasty. And in the case of Tisha B'Av, it must be prohibited because it's royally el shlomim, and royally el shlomim means a simcha element that we have to exclude. So the Gemara is using shlomim as your litmus test for when is it considered fresh meat. And the pasuk in Dvarim, all the way towards the end in Chaf Zayin, in Perikov Zayin, it speaks about sacrificing shlomim and eating it and rejoicing in front of Hashem. Shlomim is always an achilah shel simcha. And if shlomim is meant, the achilah of shlomim is meant to offer fresh meat to inspire us to joy during that 2 day period in which you're allowed to eat it. And if that be the case, the salting has lasted for 2 days and not more than 2 days. If the meat is salted for up to but not beyond 2 days, and it still tastes fresh enough and inspires joy, and it is addictive. But if meat was salted for a longer period of time, it's already past the 2 day period of shlomim, it's no longer got its natural flavor, and therefore it's not addictive, and it can be eaten on Erev Tisha B'Av. And something very similar goes on with yayin. Yayin mikito ad kama. How long of a period of time after the wine is fresh from its press is it considered inspiring simcha? Is kol zman shehu toses, as long as the wine is still fermenting? In other words, at what point does it become yayin shel simcha, yayin hamesameach levav enosh, and leaves the and terminates its previous status of yayin migito? The answer is once the fermentation process is complete. And let's say it takes 3 days for this process to continue. As long as it's still toses, it's called yayin migito, you're allowed to drink it at the Sudim Afsekes. But on the flip side, that would not be addictive because it doesn't have that element of inspiring joy, and therefore it would not be mechayev b'mitzvah morer. But once the 3 day period of time has elapsed since the wine came from the gas, from the press, the wine press, at that point it's already fermented. Vasanya, and we learned in the Braisa, yayin toses ein bo mishum gilui v'kavet sisoso shloshi yomim. So how long does it take for this fermentation process to conclude itself? It takes 3 days. So from the time that the yayin has been produced in the wine press until 3 days have passed, it's still busy fermenting. Now, what is this law of Ein Bo Mishum Gilui? The fermentation process, paradoxically, scares away the snakes. Normally, if you have wine, or for that matter, other liquids that were left uncovered, we have a prohibition against consuming such liquids because we are afraid that maybe a snake came and left its poisonous venom inside the liquid. But if it's wine that's being fermented, it's during the first 3 days since it came from the press, then there's no basis, no reason to be choshesh that this was poisoned by a snake. The snakes are repelled by the effervescence of fermenting, and therefore, even if the wine was left uncovered, you're allowed to drink it if it's within those first 3 days. But after the 3 days, it's no longer yayin toses, it's now fully matured wine. The fermentation process has come to its termination, and now it's wine. That's the wine which is prohibited to sudam afsekis and generates a chiyuv ben soreh umoreh for solel, zolel v'soveh. Now, the Gemara wants to hachamai, meaning, let's investigate this. Your premise is that your definition of basar maluach and yayin migito is the same distinction, same definition, I should say, in both the sudam afsekis of erev tishbav as well as the achil and the shtir that generates achiv ben sor morer. Maybe we can say tzvei dinim here. There's a distinction between the two hasam. In the case of erev tishbav, the sudam afsekis is mishum simchahu. We want to avoid meat and wine of simcha that inspires joy. Kolz manchu b'shlamim kishlamim. As long as it is within these first 2 days and one night, and it resembles shlamim, in such a case, then nami isbe simcha, the meat is mesameach, and that's why we're enjoined from eating that meat on Erev Tishba, the Sudam Afsekis, when the Avails commences. But Hacha, if you want to know what the criterion for Basar is, for the Achila of Ben Sorim, or that generates a Chiyu Ben Sorim, Shuchei, who, it's a question of what kind of meat would addict him, Ubechol Shuhu Lo Mimshich, it could be that a kolshu, in other words, if it was salted for a very short period of time, that already takes it out of the status of mimshich. It doesn't have to be salted for more than 2 days, which was the minimum to set up basar maliach that's mutar on Erev Yom Kippur. Even in a shorter period of maliach, it's already taken. The salt has already removed some of that good taste of meat. You know, the real experts in meat, those professionals and those great chefs, they will tell you that they know the meat is salted and that it's not the real taste of the meat. And that already is enough to be mafkia the mimshich, that addictive element. And therefore, even less than basar haroy l'shlom, meaning less than maliach of 2 days, it would be enough to be mafkiya, the chiyuv of zaken of ben sorim morer, the yayin and yayin adar boim yom. It's just like we're saying that in the case of meat, if it was salted even one night, so too in the case of yayin, if he drinks wine that's very, very young, that means it's in the first 40 days since it was generated in the gat, in the press, that's already enough to be mafkia the machayev of ben sorim morer, because only after 40 days, we were discussing 3 days before, but we're talking now about 40 days, it's still very young, immature wine, and its taste, you know, old wine is good wine, it's still young wine, and it's not going to be addictive. So again, meat has been salted overnight. The Gemara is postulating the possibility that it loses its flavor and it doesn't have the taste of the truly fresh meat, the original meat, and it's not so appealing and not so indicative, addictive. It would not draw the boy into a life of crime. And in the case of Yayin, if it's within the first 40 days since it came from the wine press, it's still young wine. It doesn't have that kick to it, that taste of wine to it, and it's not addictive. It doesn't inspire that kind of addiction. Omar Rav Hanan. Now, once we've touched on the fact that drinking this wine might cause an addiction that would lead to the Chiyuv Ben Sor Morer, the Gemara wants to know, are there any good benefits from drinking wine? And God created wine despite the fact that it could lead to the most extreme kind of aberration here of Ben Sor Morer. And the answer is, Omar Rav Hanan, Lo Nivra Yayin Ba'olam El Lenachem Avelim. And I think what the Gemara might mean here is that Yayin has the power to create joy in a person. Again, it doesn't mean he has to get stone drunk. It means that wine could put him into a certain mood of joy. It could break down certain inhibitions that are preventing him. Nichlas Yayin Yotzeh Sod. The Gemara quotes, Rav Hanan quotes one particular example of wine that is, the rejoicing of the wine is something very important. In the case of an avel, this is the Yemenites are very machpin on this. You know, every night during avels, they drink a certain number of cups of wine. I think it goes in ascending order. In any event, that's part of nicham avelim. If you have a person who's very tense, and you know, as a result, he irritates other people. Maybe if he drinks wine, again within a very restricted amount, it might actually calm him down a little bit. Another purpose of wine, and this is much more metaphysical, is l'shalem sachar l'rashayim. God wants to pay up the evildoers and reward them for whatever good deeds and merits they have in this world. So God allows them to drink wine. Let them enjoy the wine. Shenemar tnu shechar li'oved v'yayin l'mari nefesh. And here the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Shlomo Melech in Mishlei, who basically says that you should give these intoxicating wines or beverages to a wicked one, and give wine to an embittered soul, a lost soul. And basically these are descriptions of a rasha. His soul is lost because he won't find a resting place in the world to come. Let them drink and enjoy their wine and get reimbursed and get rewarded for whatever good deeds, the minimal good deeds that they did in this world. And basically, the psukim are telling us that wine can, on the one hand, relieve pain in the case of someone who's embittered by the loss of one of his loved ones, and at the same time, it can be a lot of fun and joy and pleasure for the Rishoyim, and let them get paid up for whatever little they deserve here in this world. Omar Rabbi Yitzchak, look at the potential danger in drinking wine. Maidichsiv, what does the pasuk mean again? In Mishlei it says, Al tere yayin ki yis adem, which literally translates, do not look upon wine that is red in color, of course. And what is this telling me? We're talking about drinking and indulging in red wine, which is considered of superior quality and very tempting. I personally drink red wine. Now I'm a little bit more into white wine. I never found it tasty or inspiring or addictive. Just that's what I have to drink because of my diet. But if all things were equal, that I wouldn't be drinking dry wine. But in any event, altera yayin, don't, you know, look upon wine in a very longing way. She ma'adim pneihem shel rishoyim b'olam hazeh. The face of the wicked reddens. You notice when a person starts drinking, his face gets reddened. But umalvim pneihem l'olam haba, when they come into the next world, it's going to be very humiliating for them because their faces although they turn red in this way, in this world down here when they become intoxicated, but they'll be turning white in the next world when it becomes obvious how much they'll be punished because all the merits that they have already paid up, they were rewarded in this world. And the end of that pasuk in Mishlei says that in the end it bites like a serpent, which means that if a person overindulges in wine, he's going to suffer a bitter fate. As it says, in the end, it bites at this like a serpent. That's an allusion to the world to come. In the end, he's going to be in bad shape. Rav Kahana, I'm sorry, I skipped. Rav Omar al Tera Yayin Ki Is Adem. Don't look upon wine that is red. Al Tera Yayin Shachriso Dam. The redness here is a reference, is an allusion to blood. It means that eventually he's going to die, because overindulgence in wine is going to cause all sorts of diseases, especially to his liver, and he won't survive it. So Achriso Dam, which means in the end is blood. He's going to die. And a drunkard basically dies. And not only that, he's not in control of himself. He doesn't feel. I remember when on Purim, one of our students got drunk and he couldn't feel when five metal chairs, folding chairs, fell on top of his head. He didn't feel it. And that's, of course, very dangerous. You know, the Torah wants us to feel pain. You know, imagine taking a drunken and Chas Shalom, he gets attacked and he could be beaten to death. He's not even aware of it. He cannot protect himself in any way. And keep in mind that overindulgence might lead at the end to execution of a Ben Sora Morer. So alcoholics are very dangerous people, both to themselves and possibly to others, because they have to sustain their addiction. And we have all sorts of organizations today to try to deal with this problem, Alcoholics Anonymous and other organizations. There may be a problem today with our Orthodox youth, Chas V'Sholem, in terms of addiction to alcohol. In fact, not only do alcoholics get injured because they're not careful about themselves, they fall or they get attacked, but not only that, they get into fights. They hang around together and they fight over the wine. This is also a very dangerous situation. So that's what Rava says, that al tera yayin shachriso achriso dam. And now we get to Rav Kahana. If you take a look at the word for wine in Sefer Bereishis, very often it's called tirosh. Tirosh is the same as tirosh, but it's without the vav. Ksiv tirosh v'karin in tirosh. So although it's spelled tirash, we read it as tirosh. What are these two implications of tirosh and tirosh? Zacha, if he drinks in the right way, he's moderate about his drinking, he drinks l'shem mitzvah, etc., etc., then nasa rosh. He will be the head, the leader, the rosh. But if, on the other hand, lo zacha, if he overindulges in wine and he misuses and abuses his rights to wine, then nasa rosh, he'll become a poor person. So Rav Kahana is telling us that this word should have been tirosh with a vav, and it appears tirosh. And if we, even though we pronounce it as tirosh, but since it's written as tirosh, we should darshan it as tirosh, and that means he will become poor, nasa rosh. So again, on the one hand, if he drinks moderately, then he opens up his heart to wisdom, to sod, and this is Rashi at the end of Yuma speaks about this. And the reason for that is that sometimes wine lifts up a person's spirits. And that's a more appropriate mindset for the study of Torah, for example. But if, on the other hand, he overindulges and he misuses and abuses his rights to drink wine, then instead of T.A. LaRush, instead of becoming a leader, he becomes a rush, he becomes a poor person. And these, alcoholic addictions inevitably lead a person to be impoverished. He spends so much money on buying wine. The pasuk in Mishlei says, "Al tere yayin ki is adem ki yitain bakis or bakos ono eno." Excuse me. He puts his eye on the wine that's red. He casts his eye upon the cup, and even though it says bakos, but you can read it as bakis, which means his pocket. And when a drinker looks at the wine and he longingly desires that wine, then the owner of the wine who's selling him, let's say in a tavern, he's looking at the wallet, at the kiss, and he's anticipating that the drinker will have to empty his wallet in order to sustain his desire to drink the wine. We have something similar in Rava. Rava saw a contradiction. In one pasuk in Tehillim, it says, "Ksiv yisamach ukrinin yisameach." This is the pasuk of Yayin yisamach lav levav enosh that we mentioned earlier. The word yisamach is written with a shin, which can also be pronounced as a sin, and then it becomes yisamach. And what does that mean, yisamach? And the drasha of Rav is the following: zocha mesamcho. If he drinks wine in the proper way, mesamcho. And then the word is with a sin, not a shin. And that's the way we pronounce it. But lo zocha is meshamemehu. Now we're reading it as a shin, which literally means it'll destroy him. So if a person, you know, drinks because it lifts his spirits, that's pleasant. But sometimes he drinks without any moderation, in excess, and at the end, then mishamemehu, that'll destroy. V'hainu diyama rava. That's what Rav used to say, chamra v'rechani pakhin, which literally means wine and fragrant scents have made me wise. So once a person drinks and his spirits are lifted, he smells a pleasant scent, and as he drinks wine, he's uplifted by this scent. And that's why in Havdalah we smell besamim, and at the same time we drink the yayin. All this is because our spirits are a little bit low at the end of Shabbos, and if we have to uplift our spirits, that's chamra v'rechani, the combination of wine and fragrant odors. A little bit more about the danger of addiction to wine. Omara, and we say wine, we mean any intoxicating beverage. Omar of Amra Braid Rab Shimon Bar Abam Rab Hanina Maidich Siv Lemi. Okay, this is a pasuk in Mishlei, again a very complicated pasuk. Let's read it. Lemi oi lemi avoy lemi midyanim. Okay, let's see the literal translation. It says, "Who, woe, alas, who has quarrels?" Now, the first oi seems to be a cry. The second avoy seems to be a kind of a woe. And lemi avoy, lemi oy, lemi avoy, who is crying out woe, or who is, the answer is lemi midyanim, is who is the one who quarrels. So we're hoping to get an answer here about the crying, the lamentations here, the woe, and the quarreling here. Lemi says Shlomo Melech, lemi siach, lemi ptsoim chinam, lemi chachlichios, chach lilus einayim, who has pain, who has groundless wounds, who has red eyes. Lama achrim al hayayin, those who linger around for the wine. Laboim lachkar mimsach, those who investigate to find the best wines, the finest wines. These are the guys who are in pain, who have groundless wounds, who have red eyes. And Kiyosi Rav Dimi Omar, Rav Dimi came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, and what he carried was from, I'm sorry, when he came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, is Amri B'marav, what they usually like to express in Eretz Yisrael is Haikra, this pasuk that we quoted from Mishlei, Man didorish le me reisha le seifa midrish, me seifa le reisha midrish. You can understand this pasuk from the beginning to the end, and that's correct. Or from the end to the beginning, and that's also correct. Either way, it's a valid way of reading this pasuk. That basically the pasuk is asking a question. What is it that is appropriate for both types of people? Mourners who cry woe, and alas, wicked people who quarrel with others. And the answer in both questions is the overindulgence in wine. The drinking of wine. In the first case of those who cry woe, meaning they are avelim, they are bereaved, then the wine was created for them. And in the second case, it's the wicked people who quarrel with others, the wine was created for them, as we said earlier, as a reward in this world, so they come to the next world with no merits whatsoever. Dorish Over Glila. So there's some person by the name of Over, he comes from the north, from Galil, and he darshened the following. Shalosh, Shloshesrei Vavin, Nemru, Biyayin. Which means that if you look in Bereishis, when the Torah presents wine for the first time in Perek Tes, when Noah comes out of the Teva, there is a prefix of a Vav for 13 words. And they all should be read as Vai. Vai, which is in Aramit, wailing or crying or oying, you know, saying oy. These Vavs are not extra. They need them grammatically, but the fact that the Torah placed 13 Vavs as prefixes in the same portion, the section of Bereishis Tes discussing wine, we can derive from that that whoever overdrinks will eventually will cry out Vai, 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 which means oy, oy, oy. And that's the drush of Over, who says that if you take a look, it says, Vayochal Noach Ish Adoma, that's one Vav, Vayitakorem, another Vav, Vayesht Minayayin, Vayishkar Vayiskal Besoch Oholo, Vayar Chom Aviknanes Ervas Oviv, Vayaged Lishne Echov Bachutz, Vayikach Shem Vyephesus Asimla, Vayasimu Al Shchem Shnehem Vayelchu Achoranis Vayechasu Es Ervas Avim Upneihem Vayikatz Noach Miyeno Vayedas Kol Asher Asalo Bno Akoton. So once again, there are 13 Vavs here in this parasha teaching us that Yayin is a source of Oy and crying out, and this is the destructive and dangerous nature of drinking wine, which Noach unfortunately fell from his greatness after he drank wine. Wine is the source of woe. Wine is the source of anguish and misfortune. Now, we mentioned that Noach's youngest son, Chum, did something to Noach. Now we have a digression in the Gemara in this Haggadah. What exactly was Chum guilty of? When Noach was laying there naked and drunk, Rav Ushmul, according to this opinion, Chad Omar Serso, he actually castrated his father. They didn't want to have any other brothers, you know, to divide up the world. V'chad Omar Revo, and others interpreted that Chum sodomized his father. Mandi over Sar, so what's the reason to assume that that's exactly what happened? Where's there a remez that that's what happened? Mitoch Shekillo Birvi Chum ruined Noach by castrating him, so he could not have a fourth son. As Kilo Birvi, Noach therefore was cursed him through his fourth son, Knan. In other words, even though Cham was the one who sinned, Noach was not able to curse Cham because Cham was blessed by Hashem together with his other two brothers when he came out of the Teva. So therefore Noach cursed one of Cham's sons, Knan, and he chose to curse the fourth son, indicating that Cham had castrated Noach and prevented Noach from having the fourth son. Umad yom revo, gomar vayar vayar. Ksiv hoch, it says, vayar chom avi knanis ervas aviv, uksiv hosom, vayar ososhchem ben chamor. So the word vayar is indicative of certain desire for a sexual act. In the case of chom, obviously a very base sexual act of sodomy. And in the case of Shechem, he saw Dinah and violated her. And we see clearly that, according to this Mandi Omar, the Vayar Chum means that he had this sexual relationship with his father. It says, Bishlam Mandi Omar Serso, if you accept that opinion that Chum castrated Noach and therefore he couldn't have a fourth child, Mishum Hachi Kilo Bervi, with a fourth son meaning Knan, Elo Laman Diomer Vo Maishno Revi Nelatye Behedja. Why is it that there's something special about Chum's fourth son, and that's why Noach specifically cursed the fourth son? Ha Veha Havai. And the answer is that both, if we assume sodomy or castration, occurred, meaning that according to this Mandi Omar, Cham did both to his father. He sodomized him and he castrated him. And therefore, he was cursed with the Revi, because he would no longer be able to have a fourth child. The Pasuk now says, Vayochal Noach Isha Adama Vayita Korem, Noach, who's the man of the earth, debased himself, Ayochal, he desecrated his Kedusha, and he planted a vineyard, Omer of Chizda, Omer of Ukva, Amri Leymar Ukva, Omer of Rabbi Zakkai, Omer LaKodesh Baruch LeNoach, Noach, Lo Hoyelecha Lilmod Mi Odom HaRishon, Shelo Garam Lo Eliyayin. You should have taken a lead, taken the hint from Adam. Adam, the downfall of Adam was caused by wine. So the description of Noach here in this parasha as Ish Hadama is an allusion to Adam HaRishon, who was Ish Hadama. He was created from the earth, and when the Torah describes Noach as the man of the earth, of Ish Hadama, it's alluding to the fact that Noach is rebuked by HaKadosh Baruch Hu and saying, Noach, you should have learned about the evils of wine from Adam HaRishon. And the Gemara now, it tries to explain what this is all about. Kiman diyomar oso ilon sha'ochemeno Adam HaRishon gefen hoya. There are many different opinions as to what the fruit on the tree was, the Eitz Hadas, which brought about the downfall of man when he violated the will of God. According to one Mandi Omer, this was a grapevine. Disanya, and this reflects the Shita Rabbi Meir Omer, Oso Ilon Sha'achal Adam HaRishon Mimenu Gefen Hoya. It was the Eitz Hadas was a Gefen, and now the Gemara is suggesting that there is reason to believe that this tree was a grapevine, and then Adam HaRishon wanted to drink the wine of the grapes, and And again, I'm not sure if the simple reading of Reb Meir is that he drank wine, Adam Marishon, because it says Ochal Migefen. I don't know, Ochal, it's hard to, it's a stretch here that Ochal means that he drank wine. In any event, we turn now to Daf Ayin Omid Beis. She'ein lecha davar she'mevi yalala la'adav el yayin. Nothing brings as much sorrow to a person, wailing upon a person, as wine. No food or drink in the world brings as much fortune and misfortune to a person as wine. And it's wine that brought to the ultimate klola of death, of human mortality. That's the greatest misfortune of all for man. And all this is because Adam Arishon wanted the wine. Rav Yehuda Omer, Rav Yehuda is a different shita. There are many shitas, but according to Rav Yehuda, chita haya, it was wheat. Adam ate wheat, even though it's called fruit, and it grows on a tree. Even a stalk of wheat, according to Rav Yehuda, is called a tree, maybe because of the lofty and miraculous nature of Gan Eden, where stalks grew as tall as Lebanese cedars. She'ein atinuk yodeh likro abba ve'ima ad she'yitom tam dagon. So the tam dagon, the taste of grains, has something to do, is directly connected to intelligence. And the child's intelligence begins to develop when he's able to eat solid foods. He stops drinking the materna, he eats solid foods that come from grains. That develops his intelligence, and therefore wheat in its common form is the most common form of grains. It's used for human consumption. It's called the tree of knowledge because wheat brings knowledge. And then we have from Nechemya Omer, Te'ena Hoya. It was a fig. Shebedavar Shekilo Bo Nitakno. That with which they were disgraced, they were rectified. Shenema ve'yisperu ale te'ena. Why was it that they sewed together fig leaves? And the answer is that's a tikkun for the illegal consumption of figs. So the story in Bereishis Perek Gimel about Adam and Chava after they ate from the Eitz Hadas, they were aware of their nakedness, they covered themselves with fig leaves, and the reason for this leaf, and if you know the fig leaf, it's quite large, Rav Nechemya says, is that Hashem wants to bring about the tikkun from that which caused the pain. See, the remedy comes from the cause of the pain. And we find this, for example, in Zechariah HaNavi, who prophesizes that when Yerushalayim will be rebuilt at the time of Yemos HaMashiach, and there'll be a binyan of Yerushalayim, then the walls will be made of fire, which is very interesting because fire was the very agent that destroyed Yerushalayim. It's now going to be the fire that builds Yerushalayim or rebuilds Yerushalayim. And again, according to the Gemara that we're seeing now and the logic of Rav Nechemya, since it is the fig that's being used as a tikkun, it must be that the sin was through the fig. And therefore God remedies the suffering of a person from the very thing that causes the suffering, because that's a kind of a miraculous demonstration of God's power. He's powerful enough to take something that's destructive in its nature and transform it to something constructive. Now the Gemara is going to go on and quote various psukim from a particular perek in Mishlei that warns against excessive wine drinking. And the Gemara starts with the introductory verse of that perek, Divrei Lemuel Melech Masa Asher Yisarto Imo. So I think we'll stop here, and Mirz Hashem, in the next year, we'll be able to finish this Agadita, and it's a pretty long Agadita, but we'll get to the the question about what kind of achilos generate or do not generate the chiyuv of ben sorer umorah.